previously, in the previous two majalis gatherings, with regards to Ramadan Sharif, the coming of Ramadan, and with regards to the preparation of Ramadan in the light of the teachings of the pious predecessors, I presented some points within which the pious predecessors have, on this subject, they have emphasized the importance, because this is a great month that is coming, and it is so important and great, Allahu Akbar, that every second of this great month, every second, should pass in a way that we attain the barakat and mercies and rahmah. So not a second should pass in Ramadan that we don't attain the barakat and rahmah of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala has given us Ramadan in our destiny, in our lives, and we should not lose or be devoid of the benefits of such a beautiful and great month due to our neglect and laziness. There are many individuals who, due to their neglect or misuse or misunderstanding, they waste the good times, the good moments, the important moments. So for this reason, these words are very important. This discussion is very important, which is mentioning the greatness and the emphasis of the time to come. And so we can save ourselves from losing and regretting, so that we don't regret tomorrow, oh, what a great month came and we wasted it. So as long as there's life and there's understanding and there is experience, and we have experience, we see every day that is there any guarantee of life? At any moment we may be called back to our Lord. Just today in the masjid, there's a mushaida, an experience common that I can communicate with you. At Dhuhr time, somebody was getting married, there was a nikah, and after Asr, another person was passing away. So this is the game of life, my friends, the game of life. And we say to maut, death, no, don't come yet, angel of death, Ramadan is coming tomorrow, let him live until Ramadan, otherwise if he doesn't see Ramadan, then he will lose the benefit of bakhshish, forgiveness. But Allah Ta'ala will call at the appointed time, and from a big month to come. This is just a matter of hours, isn't it? A day. But he had to depart. So the janazah was being prayed. So for this reason, this is the fadl of Allah, that if we attain the mercies of Ramadan, and when we attain the mercy, then we have to attain it with understanding, and we should not misuse the time. So the first thing that we discussed in the previous 2 days, I'll revise, go over it again so we can revise and make it proper, our understanding. The first point was this, upon this subject, that Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did a merciful thing for his ummah, because we are people of no understanding, we don't know what is Ramadan. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a beautiful way, even in his, he explained to us that the final moments of Shaban is full of barakat, and we had the night of Shab-e-Barat, Laylatul Barat, the 15th night, but until the last moments of Shaban, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a salah that Shaban is nothing, for the month to come is the great month. Shaban is not even a dharra, not even an atom in comparison to Ramadan. So what is the rahmah? Look at the rahmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He explained to us, taught us, become alert, and he gave us a special deed, a special, you can say, amal, action from within his actions and deeds. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam held this action in high esteem, that he first would teach his family to do this dua. Look how important it must be. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach his noble sahaba radiyallahu anhum, that learn this dua, recite this dua in the form of dua. Dua alhamdulillah with the fadl of Allah. On Thursday, on Friday, Saturday, now it's the third day, you will be reciting this dua, won't you? I have this hope that you will have learned this dua. What a beautiful dua, so important and high impact. So you will obviously have started this reciting this dua. And it's not a small dua, is it? Where did this dua come from? Who taught us this dua? Who taught us this dua? From whose mouth did this dua emanate? Rather, what I'll say, that yes, obviously we know there are benefits of doing the dua, but by reciting this dua, we will get all the things for, in which the words are within the dua, we will attain that. But the nur, the light, the blessings, the mercies of this dua, we will feel throughout the month of Ramadan. Throughout the month of Ramadan, we will recover the nur of this dua. This is such a dua, a prayer. So if we know this dua, what was the dua that I explained to you? The dua, the first point is that we should say, And that thought was, oh Allah, safeguard me. Allah, safeguard me, or all of us, not just us individually, all of us, Allah, safeguard us or me for Ramadan, and keep Ramadan safeguarded and protected for me, and vice versa. So, Allah, keep me safe and protected for Ramadan. What does this mean? That Allah, allow me to attain Ramadan. Ask that person who departed from the world today after the Lord, that sister or brother, ask those people who passed away the value of these words. Oh Allah, safeguard me, protect me for Ramadan. Maybe my hands or feet or may become, you know, disabled, or I could get an illness or a disease that I cannot benefit or reach into Ramadan. So start this dua. There's no trust on time. That before Ramadan comes, even 5 minutes before we may depart, that will I see the moon of Ramadan? When I see the moon of Ramadan, then I've reached into Ramadan. I've arrived into Ramadan. So this is the dua, that Allah, safeguard me, keep me safe and protect me so I can attain Ramadan, and also keep Ramadan safeguarded and protected for me so that it reaches to me. And on top of that, the third point, so one was Allah, that whatever there is within Ramadan, the good deeds, the power and the status of Ramadan, Allah, give me that also. Subhanallah. And then the point that Ramadan, allow it to become a source of my forgiveness. Keep it maqbool salamat for me, Allah. Whatever I do in Ramadan, Allah, accept it in your court. Allah, accept it in your court. That is when we will then succeed, isn't it? For this month. Otherwise, we've done all the mihnat and the struggle, but it will go to waste. So this was the first deed that we discussed, that prepare for Ramadan from today. Like this. So we've started, the Sahaba Ikram recited this dua. Then in the second gathering yesterday that I discussed and shared with you, that was to emphasize the point, the important point, that to protect the moments, the seconds, the time of Ramadan. To protect the seconds, minutes, hours, days of Ramadan. Not, oh, 5 minutes I've got, or let me waste 1 hour. No, no, beware. If you're sitting, waiting for Salah 5 minutes, don't worry. Read Tasbih, read Quran, 2 pages, 3 lines. Do Maraqabah, dhikr in the heart. 20 times, recite Allah, Allah, Allah. But don't let the time pass empty. Not a second should pass empty, brothers. I'm talking about empty. The most lazy period for a person is when he's lying down or sleeping. Because a person who's sleeping, we're saying maybe he's lazy or he's negligent because he's not aware in consciousness. But what does Ramadan about Ramadan? The person who prepares for Ramadan and then he sleeps. The person who's sleeping at that time, but he's prepared for Ramadan. When he sleeps, then he's doing the high grade worship at that time. This is his maqam, his station becomes like this. And then listen further. Beautiful hadith. That the person who sleeps after preparing for Ramadan, he's doing a high grade ibadat worship. And his every breath becomes a tasbih. Tasbih, Allahu Akbar. And let's listen further. So this is the shan, the status of Ramadan. It becomes tasbih for him. Becomes tasbih for him. And he's getting up after sleeping. And when he gets up, awakens after sleeping, the dua that he recites becomes accepted. Let's go even further. Let's go in further. And the fourth reward he gets is that his dua is accepted. And fourthly, that during his sleep, while he was lazy and sleeping, Allah says, I've forgiven him also. So this is Ramadan, the person who prepares for Ramadan, who comes into Ramadan. So a person who's sleeping, who's not awake, and his sleeping becomes worship. Because during Ramadan, then this is because he's prepared for Ramadan. So what about when he's awake and conscious, and what he does during Ramadan? What will he get? What will she get? So should we be lazy? Should we waste time? The question doesn't arise. So Allah Ta'ala advises us, make your heart alive. Walking, talking, Allah, 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 Allah. Your heart is alive. It's awake. It's attentive to Allah. You're even speaking to someone in the dunya saying, Allah, Allah. Because the works of the dunya, they won't stop, will they? You know, there are struggles that people have to make effort during Ramadan. So do your work and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your work and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your work and don't lie bone idle. Yes, you're living in the dunya, but you're attentive and you're focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is Ramadan. This is how to focus. So that's the second point we discussed regarding valuing the moments and seconds. This was the discussion in the previous gathering. And then I spoke about the special amal of Ramadan. There are many amal, deeds we can perform. All the deeds, every good deed Allah has given. But the special, specific amal of Ramadan. Yes, the special amal of Ramadan. What are they? That Allah Ta'ala holds beloved. Yes, we definitely, compulsorily have to practice these. First of all, recitation of Quran. Recitation of Quran, tilawati Quran, which is the decoration of Ramadan. The whole of Ramadan is decorated. It's the jewel of Ramadan. And after tilawati of Quran is dhikr-i-Rahman, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will give the elevation of Iman. So dhikr of Allah, dhikr ilahi, every moment dhikr. And the third deed, what I mentioned, what was that deed? What was that deen? To do du'as continuously, which will give the luggage of forgiveness. So these are the three deeds, they're compact. We must grab these three deeds. Either we should be reciting Quran or be immersed in dhikr ilahi, the dhikr of Allah. If we're not immersed in dhikr of Allah, then be busy in doing du'as. And if you're free from these three things, then the only fourth thing you should be doing is sleeping, because that's also ibadat, worship during Ramadan. So these are the deeds of Ramadan. So today, alhamdulillah, because this is the last majlis of Shaban before Ramadan. This is the last dhikr majlis in this masjid before Ramadan comes. So I would like to discuss another point with you today, just before Ramadan comes, because we've done these previous things that I discussed and shared. But as I was saying at the end yesterday, that if this point stays in my mind, I will discuss it, and it's come in my mind, so I'll discuss it and share it and distribute it. So listen carefully, because the conclusion of a discussion, the conclusion of an action, that is the summary, that is all of the discussion matter. Everything is concisely brought together, subhanallah, and all of the waste is evaporated and the value is there. So when you scrape the barrel at the bottom, once you've taken everything above it, you scrape the barrel at the bottom, that's where all the sweetness is. So we've understood everything before this, but now we need to understand, we have to think that we are preparing, we have prepared, the barakat of Ramadan to come, the fadl, the mercies of Allah, the rewards, everything is there, the virtues. But we have to think here, that all of this that is to come, is there anything that will become a barrier between me and Ramadan? We are thinking that we are practicing, we're doing the ibadat. Listen very carefully, this is the scraping the barrel. We have to take the sweetness from the bottom of the pot. We're praying salah, doing dhikr, reading Quran. But is there anything that will prevent the deeds being accepted? Do you understand the point I'm making? This is what happens. This is what happened. I'll give you the example, a beautiful example, that you know the sun, it shines, and the sun shines and gives its rays and light to everyone. But if you're sitting in the direct sunlight, you will get the rays. But if you're sitting below a roof, yes, below something above your head, then that roof becomes a barrier, an obstacle for the light rays to reach to you. So in the same way, you could be performing big deeds, virtuous deeds, good deeds, but if there's a restriction, a hurdle, an obstacle between you and the acceptance of that deed, then the time is wasted. So we have to think today that we will do everything in Ramadan, but is there an obstacle? Is there a hurdle between me and Allah and the acceptance of my deeds? If there is, what do we have to do? Remove the hurdle. Eliminate the barrier. Will we do this? Yes, inshallah. Solid promise? Yes, eliminate that hurdle. Otherwise, all our efforts will go to waste. All to waste. All of the things I've said before today will be a waste. So first thing is we have to remove the hurdle, the obstacle, the barrier between us and our deeds being accepted. So what is the barrier? What is that physical barrier? Listen carefully. That before Shaban passes, before Ramadan comes, we have to implement this deed and prepare for Ramadan. What is that deed? We have to analyze that, is there any gap, anything lacking in the rights that I am giving to society? We don't even think, oh, I'm ready for Ramadan, I've cut my hair and I've done everything, I've prepared, I've opened the Quran, I've read, I've recited, I'm prepared. But do we think like this? That have I sworn at somebody? Have I taken anyone's money unlawfully? I just hit my wife or abused my wife and I've just come to the masjid. I slapped my wife, or my wife was asking for something and I prevented her, or my son was doing something and I said nope. And dhulam upon dhulam, because dhulam is a very severe sin. What is this called? Dhulam, when we break the rights of society. This is not the case that we have got people in our control, within our authority, and we just oppress them, suppress them. No, we've got the car and we suppress it. No, we just drive it fast and abuse it. No, the hadith tells us, you have a horse, or you have a camel, you have form of transportation. On the horse or the camel, we shouldn't start giving khutbah and start talking about deen and wasting time. No, if you want to speak about dunya, get off, disembark from the transportation, because it was given to you for transportation, not for you to waste time, sit there and talk to people on there. This is the hadith. So tell me, we are insan. Are we insan? We will get everything and we can just oppress people. Somebody's within our control, authority, and we suppress them, we oppress them. We don't care for them. We don't have regard for them. No, the deen of Allah has made a law, a principle for everyone in society, in the world. Yes, we say, no, I can do what I want, I'm stronger, my neighbor is weak, or she's a woman on her own, a single woman, and I can just persecute her or oppress her. I can keep knocking on her door and call her names and say, why are you making noise in your house, I'm disturbed. You know, when there's somebody, a woman on her own in the neighborhood, or somebody who's weak, and we oppress them, or we abuse them, or we give them mental, you can say, persecution. No, in ma'ashara, in society, we have to look, what is the importance? We have to walk around, meet people, socialize. There are two people working together in a shop, there are two employees working together in a business place, and sometimes if they talk against each other, there's a difference of opinion, friction occurs. Or if you're working in an office or a company, people have differences. Or for example, within friends, there could be a difference that is created. And what is the teaching? And even within the home, within the wife and the children and the family, differences of opinion or issues are created. But healing the rifts, uncle, auntie, mother, father, sister, brother, relatives, and we say, bigoted, oh, you know, I haven't seen my uncle for years. He doesn't care about me, I don't care about him, I haven't seen his face for years. Allah, what is this, a little thing? And you're spending Ramadan where? Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, doing ibadat. Is this Islam? Read Islam. Study Islam. When you're taking a step, Allah give tawfiq, do umrah, do hajj. But the more Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq, think that In these three days, including today, I've spoken about the preparation. How much do we have to prepare for Ramadan? Not just I've done itikaf, sujood, prostration, taraweeh, and I'm bigoted, I've got all the rules. Have I eliminated the restrictions, the obstacles of Ramadan? Or is it just everything's from above, and the sun was shining, and it heated the roof that was above me, and there was a hurdle between the sun's rays reaching me because of the roof, because of the oppression of society that I've done? If I have to put the lights on, then isn't it? There's darkness in my home, the rays of light of the sun are not coming to me, but I should remove that roof. There wasn't even a crack in my roof that could allow the ray of the sun's light to come through to illuminate my home because of my restrictions, because of the oppression that I've done. Whoever I argue with, whoever I've got a problem with, an argument with, a quarrel with, a dispute with, these things happen. We are insan, we are human beings, these things happen. We have to think, there are 2 days left, 1 day left, Ramadan's coming, make a list. These are the deeds I have to do before Ramadan comes. And this is a big action, that if I don't remove it, if I have to give someone money, if I swat someone, quarrel with somebody, wife and rights, I haven't given the rights, if I've oppressed someone, done dhulm with someone, even in the masjids this happens. People talk to each other in the mosque and then quarrels occur. So what do we have to do? A verse of the Quran is coming to my mind, beautiful verse that will fulfill this subject that I'm discussing, if I can come to mind. Aha, Wala man sabara. Allah Ta'ala says, beautiful verse, this is of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, that we don't think now, remember this, though this person, he oppressed me. So I was standing, he disrespected me amongst other people. He said this about me, that about me, who did this to me. But Allah Ta'ala says, enjoyment is in this, that he oppressed, he did dhulam, he oppressed, and you forgive. Aha, how is Islam? That he oppressed that person, he did dhulam that person. But what is your job? Wala man sabara wa ghafara. Allah Ta'ala says, inna dhalika la min azmi al-umur. Subhanallah, is this correct? Yes, mashallah. This is the verse of the Quran, isn't it? So what is the subject that the Quran has given to us? That when a time comes, don't think this, the janab, I did this here, I was right and he was wrong. Sharia says, no, beware, you don't have time to differentiate, to disseminate. Wala man sabara wa ghafara. And there's another principle that comes out of this verse. What is that principle that emanates from this verse? That we don't think that is his problem, not my problem. He did wrong, I didn't do wrong. No. We know there's an issue continuing with this person. Allah says that if one is patient in adversity, and what does he do? We have to go and humble ourselves. And we say that it's your fault or mine, I don't care. Whether it was your mistake or my mistake, I don't care. But for the sake of Allah, forgive me. Wa lama sabara wa ghafara. Allah says if one is patient in adversity and forgives, who controls himself and has patience upon his zulam, the other person, the third party's zulam and oppression, and forgives. Wa ghafara. Inna dhalika la min azmi al-umur. Then Allah says, behold, this is indeed something to set one's heart upon. We should be like this. And there's a hadith that comes to mind now, that the individual who does this amal, this action for the sake of Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, then listen, what is the reward I give to you? Number one, I will elevate his respect and izzah. We think we are asking forgiveness and we will become lower than that person? No. Oh, if I have to go to him, I'll have to humble myself. He's a dangerous person and he will overpower me. Allah says, you ask for forgiveness, you will get the rank and the elevation. And subhanAllah, and the person, whatever he did to you, this is the second promise of Allah. First, your izzah, your elevation will increase. You will be given increase of respect and darajat. And secondly, Allah says, I will assist you. So this is a great action, brother. So we've got two things here. Number one, our Ramadan is made. Ramadan is made. And this is the final touch-up for Ramadan. The final touch-up. So have courage and do this. Extend your hand. Assalamu alaikum. For the sake of Allah, I request forgiveness. Whether it was your mistake or mine, whether it was your fault or mine, I humble myself. I lower myself. Forgive me. And that's all we have to do. Then, brother, sister, relatives, showing off. This is not what Allah Ta'ala wants in Islam. Oh, I've cut off my ties with him. Oh, I don't care about him. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these were the actions before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came amongst the Quraysh and other people. But when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, these actions were eliminated. So where's this come from in our society today? Where's this haughtiness and pride and cutting of ties and the relations? No, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, make the ties, heal the ties. When you go to sleep in the night, there should be no differences in your heart with other people. And if we do this, brothers, my brothers, before Ramadan comes, if we implement this action, we mend the ties, then subhanAllah, the rahmas, the mercies, the barakat, the rains of mercies and the forgiveness, everything, the ni'mas, the treasures, the rewards, Allah Ta'ala says, that I've given for Ramadan, due to this deed, then all of the rain, the mercies will rain down, and you will not lose one drop of the rain of the mercy of Allah. From every drop, you will attain the mercy, the benefit, with the fadl of Allah. So this we have to do, and inshallah, what will we get? Allahu Akbar. With this preparation, because there's a preparation for everything, isn't there? With this preparation, we will enter into Ramadan, and the first light of Ramadan, the first second of Ramadan, will make us go over the heights and the peaks of rewards and forgiveness, and Allah will become pleased, and we will be free from Jahannam. So these are the words that I wanted to discuss. These are the actions we have to do. May Allah Ta'ala give us Ramadan, accept our Ramadan, and give us the courage to do the right things, so that the broken ibadah that we do in Ramadan, may Allah Ta'ala make it consistent. And mashallah, I say jazakallah, and I'm grateful to the people of this masjid that all year long they gave us ijazah, permission to come and hold the dhikr majalis and gatherings. And inshallah, after Ramadan, if we are still alive, we will continue this in this manner, and we will be present after Ramadan. And let's pray for each other for Ramadan, for the brothers of this masjid, that may Allah Ta'ala make all the affairs of this masjid easy, instill barakat into this masjid, and those who are doing khidmat, serving this masjid, may Allah Ta'ala accept their khidmat, their service, and elevate their rank and their status, and make all of this a source of goodness for him, for his mother and his father and his relatives. Make this a source of sadaqah jariyah for them. Ameen.